Hello, everybody. This is episode 28, Extended. And what you'll hear today is the fuller interview that I had with tattoo artist Gunnar. You heard just a short segment of this in the full episode 28, Psychological Tattooing, which came out just 2 days ago. If you haven't heard that one yet, go back and check it out. It was a really great episode, and I've gotten a ton of amazing feedback already from all of you, so thank you for all those very kind messages. Also, this extended episode is brought to you this week by Go Reminders. Tattooers, or really anyone that works by appointment, you know how frustrating it can be when your customer just doesn't show up, especially when you've drawn for them or done whatever preparation was necessary. Sometimes I think people just forget, or it almost seems like they don't think that you'll notice, and they just float off into the universe, never to be heard from again. Wouldn't you like to eliminate no-shows while saving time and increasing revenue? Go Reminders sends automatic appointment reminders via text message and email. With one saved appointment per month, Go Reminders more than pays for itself. This is something I see from my dentist or doctor's office, and I know that I probably would have forgotten some appointments in the past without getting that text message reminder. It's a no-brainer that tattooers should utilize a tool like this as well. It's super easy to get started, just a 10-second setup, and completely free to try for 2 weeks. So that's really no risk, and you don't even have to put your credit card info to get that free trial, which is pretty sweet. Because I always forget to cancel those, and then you get charged, and that's how they get you. I know a lot of tattooers act like they're scared of technology, but you're listening to a podcast right now. You're cool. You're hip. It's almost the year 2020. The future is now. This is as simple as keeping any calendar is, and then Go Reminders does all the rest of the work. So for all of you fantastic listeners of this show, head over to goreminders.com/booksclosed and get 10% off. Like I said, this more than pays for itself, and let's be honest, it's a tax write-off too. Do yourself and your business a favor. It's almost the new year. New year, new me. Let's tighten it up for the new year. Crack the whip on those flaky customers. goreminders.com/booksclosed for that 10% discount. Go on, get it. And now let's get started with that conversation with Gunnar. All right. So here I am in the woods of southern Maine with Gunnar, a great tattoo artist and a painter and another artist. Do you explore other facets of art as well?
Yeah, as much as I can. Yeah.
Yeah. How long have you been tattooing?
About 22 years now. Well, I started in about 95 with my apprenticeship. And then about 90, I always mark 97 as kind of my professional, like, get through the tattooing your friend shit. And then,
right.
So about 97-ish, I think.
Nice. Where did you grow up?
Connecticut.
Okay. So this is like kind of your area.
Yeah. It's pretty close. Yeah.
Okay. So you're on the cusp of a move, you were just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I am getting ready to relocate back down to Ohio. So I moved up to Quincy, like Boston area, spent the last year there and then heading back down to Ohio. So
didn't love Boston?
No, you know what? I actually didn't mind. I liked it. Like I lived right next to like the Blue Hills Reservation. So I was able to go hiking and everybody was pretty friendly. It was like really nice because a lot more diverse than Ohio, like with the people I was able to meet, ethnically and backgrounds and stuff. So that was pretty nice. I did a year at like more of a street shop environment just to kind of, it was part of like a longer journey that I've been on. And, it's not my vibe, you know, like it was like, I kind of wanted to go back to my roots and remember what it was that got me started. But then as I did it, I realized how much I don't enjoy that environment anymore.
I think there's a reason that people kind of grow beyond that or out of that.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
It's almost like you earn your stripes and then you don't have to be that tattooer if you don't want to be anymore.
Yeah. And it's not as like fulfilling for me because I liked that my clients knew who they were getting when they came in. And with this like environment, it's more of like, whatever, whoever's like up, like, you know, and there's no attachment really. It's, and with the tattoo itself, or the process as much. It's just kind of like, to me, it's like factory work, but for tattooers.
Right.
It doesn't seem like, it was just hard for me to have heart in it. And
well, it's hard to go from clients who are seeking you specifically and seeking what you do to go to people who, you know, like you said, you could just be any guy, any tattooer, just the next in line, and then you're just selling them the commodity of their new tattoo.
Yeah. And there's like a purity that I, like, you know, I've been doing, like I said, tattooing for 20 years. I worked hard to build the reputation I'd built in tattooing, but you kind of like form these relationships with, I remember hearing like a young tattoo artist say that like, he just treats clients as clients. Like, and I was like, man, my clients have become my friends. Like, you're spending a lot of time with these people. So I like that, like, I could, if I wanted to, I could be like, hey, you want to grab a drink or, you know, and hang out with my clients. And I like that, like, yeah. That's a part of tattooing that I do like. And there's parts that I really like. A lot of people don't like doing like rework tattoos. Like, I like them, like, because people seem like happier when they get a rework almost more than they are when they get like a new tattoo. It's like, holy cow, I've been living with this piece of shit forever. And you like made me happy. Like, now I'm proud again to have right. this on me. And I haven't been proud, you know? That's the heart of tattooing that I like. That's yeah. the part that like, I think is what I'm drawn to the most.
Yeah.
So
what drew me to you, as you know, is lately you've been posting on your Instagram a lot of very, like conversation starters, I think, about a lot of different facets of mental health, I guess, surrounding artists and tattooers in general. And I think in the spirit of this show, which I always try to spawn conversation, sometimes stuff we like, sometimes stuff we don't like, but it really caught my eye. And I thought that you would be the perfect person to get into this topic with for this show, since I haven't really done that, you know, in a very direct way. It's part of every conversation in some way, but I think to really dive into it would be interesting. So, I guess what is it that made you want to start making those posts? Was it something inside of yourself that you're searching that, and you wanted to get other output, or what motivates you to start those conversations?
Yeah, well, I think it comes down to like the moving back to Ohio. So I started this like journey of self, you know, I think I hit that age where like some people buy cars and motorcycles and other people go searching for the who the fuck they are, you know?
Yeah.
And I had hit this like part of my career where like with the way tattooing was changing so much, like, you know, the need to be cool, sponsorship, like everything seemed fake about tattooing to me. The new world of tattooing was like, it was a, you know, a popularity contest and like a fashion show. It was like nobody, you know, like it, to me, it was like people just weren't really caring as much about the process of the tattoo as much as like what designer artists they were wearing. Or so I was having like a lot of like internal conflicts with all that stuff. And also where I stood in it as an artist, you know, mm-hmm. Because I was buying into it too. Like, you know, I was doing all the things you are supposed to do to be big and keep your career going. And feeling more like unfulfilled than I've ever felt in my career as a tattoo artist. So I'd been going through some other life shit. And I sold my business or closed it. And then sold everything I owned and just went on the road. Like spent 3 months living in a Jeep and just touring around the country, like trying to figure my shit out.
What did you figure out?
Oh, probably more than we have time for, but
was it what you were looking for? Did it do the trick?
Yeah, because, well, and I just, you know, I had some relationship stuff where I'd like allowed myself to become like dependent on my relationship. I became like very like dependent on what I thought it meant to be a tattoo artist, this like identity of like being like a famous tattoo artist and what that meant to me. And like, so I was like so attached to these like things that to me, they're like, I went out searching for ego death. Like who cares? Like, what if I'm not fucking a big name tattoo artist tomorrow? What would my life look like then? You know?
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to see. Like, can I survive without being in a relationship and, you know, doing that thing? And so I spent like 3 months by myself, just by myself, like for the most part. And what happens when you come back and there's no career, you know, like when you walk away, like I walked away from tattooing for that time. And I was heading out to California to take a job out there and had gotten out to the place. And it was kind of like that. I got out there and I'd lived in California. Like I had a good clientele at one time and got out there and there was nobody waiting to get tattooed. Like, so the ego death I went searching for like occurred, like all of a sudden I'm like, nobody gives a fuck that I tattoo. Like there's a million good fucking tattoo artists now, you know? So that was like super humbling. And And at the same time, I realized a little bit about myself and how, like, some of the aspects of tattooing that I was like, man, I really never want to be attached to this, like, dog and pony show ever. Like, I don't enjoy that at all. What I did find out about myself is I'm really good at, like, guiding young tattooers. Like, I'm good at talking and teaching about, like, tattooing. And I have a passion for tattooing. It's just different than other people's passions. Like, I have a different, like, idea of the purity of tattooing. I still, like, respect the people that built this arena for us. And so when I was at the, out in California, a couple of the guys I worked with kept trying to, like, get me to, like, teach, you know, like, you should get people in and do these seminars and stuff. And I had been doing seminars now for, you know, 15 years or something. And I was like, yeah. But I was, like, in this weird, like, confident state of, like, who the fuck wants to listen to what I have to say anyways? So I got to the point where I was at the shop long enough that I'd kind of exhausted my resources. If you're out of work that long, you can only go so far, like, long living on empty.
Right.
And I still have responsibilities. Like, you know, I have two daughters that I still need to make sure they're taken care of. So I'm like, man, I really got to get my shit together. And so I left. Like, I'm not going to stay in California. This isn't for me anymore. So I hit the road. Didn't know where I was going to go. Like, didn't have, like, an end sight. I was like, well, life is, like, I really got used to, like, just living off instinct. Like, if it's meant to happen, it'll come up and I'll go do that. So I did that and got offered this position out in Boston to come work out there. Like, they were, had the new place. They were, like, kind of expanding and had some free booth space. And we're like, if you want, come on out. And I'm like, hell, why not? Like, I'll go give it a shot. And I like the idea of working the street shop because I wanted to, like, be no, like, just disappear, like, be like a nobody. Like, so I thought, because when you're, like, there and doing, like, those fucking, you know, like, these tiny, like, I suck it. Like, I realize I'm not good at doing Roman numeral tattoos. Like, I'm just not my, like, I just am not good at it. Like, my heart's not there. Like, I like large scale pieces, and doing all these tiny things just didn't bring me joy.
Did you find that, I mean, how long has it been since you really tattooed in an environment like that, to clients like that?
You know what? I try and do it throughout my career. I've actually inserted myself into street shops as often as I can, because you get to the point where, like, when you're working with collectors or whatever, let's say, they kind of know the process, you know, and it's like you become so used to your job. You wake up and you just take for granted what you're doing and stuff. And that's very easy to do. And so I would get to it was a good way to go back to, like, having to walk a client through their first tattoo. And you're in the, like, okay, so you might get lightheaded and you might, you know, like, and having to do that spiel again, you know, over and over. And it was a good reminder of, like, I've been doing this for this long, but this is their first time. Like, this is their first experience. And, like, we don't remember that very often, like, how uncomfortable or frightening that can be. We get jaded in the fact that we've been doing this so long. So for me, it's good to have those reminders of, like, man, this is the first time for this person, and they don't have been part of this for this long. And, you know, like,
right.
So
it's like getting a job at a grocery store to realize how good we have it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And there's something to that. And that's what, like, you know, if I learned any lesson from this, that, like, it was amazing, like, to be reminded of how good I had it in my career, because it really is an honor when people are, you know, it's an honor when you're tattooing people as it is, because someone is, like, overcoming the fear. Like, it's hard enough to get a haircut and not be stressed out that they're going to F up your haircut, you know?
Right.
And now you're in this, like, position where you're like, I'm going to, like, devote this chunk of skin. This guy doesn't even have a drawing. Like, he's got no preparation at all, like, for this project. I don't know what I'm getting. And now I'm going to sit down and pay money. Like, it's like, I'm going to spend as much as, like, let's say, you know, you're buying a moped or whatever, but you never got to see the moped. It's like sight unseen, and then hope that it runs when you get it, you know, like, yeah. And we do that to people on a daily basis and totally forget that we're, like, what we're doing with these people and how much trust and faith they're putting in us to do this and hopefully do it right. And we're not computers, so we make mistakes, and we're not like flawless, we're not infallible. And so there's a lot of that responsibility that goes to this job that sometimes I think people take for granted. So having these reminders is like super important, to get that reminder of like, oh man, like that's why I think like when I see tattoo artists don't have tattoos, it drives me nutty, because you have no empathy for what you're putting these people through. Like, yeah, you could be an awesome artist. I've seen some amazing artists that don't have tattoos, but you have no, like, I still get I'm still getting tattooed. I got both sides of my kneecaps done right before I decided to go hike the Rockies. And it's a reminder of like, man, this is what I put people through. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Every time you're like, shit, is this really?
Yeah. This
and
is what I'm
are talking
to
me. Like they're comfortable and normal. Like,
yeah. And I had like, it was interesting too, because even like, and I'm probably way off of topic at this point.
That's okay. That's how we do it here.
But I had like, so I recently got my first degree Reiki certification.
Are you a hippie?
No. I am a little like, I don't know. I don't like have a label. I don't know.
That's
I'm
fine.
Like a fucking hardcore kid that was an atheist, became spiritual. I don't know, man. Like life is funny like that. I go with it.
I find
like,
that's kind of a common thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's when you grow up as a hardcore kid, there's so much confrontation and like angst
yeah.
that to let it go and to feel what it's like to not be like that, then it makes perfect sense that you may seek something that's probably quite literally the opposite of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's in many regards, like I've made a lot of like amends with my past that I used to like have to take out in more violent, or angsty ways,
right. Stuff you can't do when you're a real adult.
Oh, yeah. And so now I'm like, oh man, like, I got to make amends with some of these aspects of my life, whatever. But when I did that, one of the things that I thought was interesting, and it's something I've like really come to think about in tattooing, is like the teacher or mentor was kind of like, don't forget that these people often won't tell you they're very uncomfortable in a situation. And when you're doing like the Reiki, I learned is hands-on. So it's like you're putting your hands in very like specific regions that, and so they were like, always make sure that you're kind of like aware and asking like, is this comfortable? Are you cold? Like, is this touch comfortable for you? Would you prefer I don't touch you there? Like stuff like that. And I watched some of these like, and I know I've been guilty of it in the past with tattooing, where you're just tattooing and you're not really thinking about that. You're just like, I'm just going to do my job, get through this project. Yeah. And you're not really thinking about the comfort level of like clients, maybe so much. I know as I've gotten like older, especially having daughters now, like when I have female clients in, I've made it like very like, okay, so I'm going to do this and I'm going to have my hand here. And if you, any reason you need me to move my hand, like, just let me know, like, because people get intimidated.
Yeah.
And they might not be voicing what they're really going through mentally. And so as an artist, like now, people didn't really do it in the past, but I feel like now that we're becoming a little bit more educated and a little bit more aware, and our clients are growing to a whole, it's not like you're not tattooing the military and the bikers anymore. You're tattooing soccer moms and, 18-year-old girls. And
yeah,
shit, I've been in places where they're tattooing like 16-year-old kids, And so these are, they don't have the same like mental fortitude maybe, or they don't like, they're not coming in from the same, like, this is just the life. I'd heard you talking about Yelp reviews and you're like, well, yeah, we took ourselves out of like the bad neighborhoods and put ourselves right next to a Starbucks. Like we're just as like, now we're in the mainstream. Like, So you're going to have to deal with mainstream mentality. And in doing so, you have got to become aware that they don't think like you. Like this tough guy tattoo mentality, like it's going to become a dying thing because the new audience is not that, like that's okay in some areas.
Right.
It's not okay in all regions.
Yeah, it has to become a dying thing.
It's going to be,
because it is.
And now you're seeing guys that are like you said, having to deal with Yelp reviews and having to deal with online backlash, and like it could be like a witch hunt out there if you're like if you're not taking care of your clients in a certain manner.
Right. And even when you have good intentions, I can see how someone can still be uncomfortable. Yeah. So it's like you have to be considerate of that and take that extra step, like you're saying, to just check in with them.
Yeah. I've even like thought about like now like putting a sign in my booth that's like, just tell me, like, make me aware because I don't know what's happening up here for you. Like, I don't know what's happening in your head.
Right. Yeah, so. my pre-tattoo spiel, because I've always worked in street shops, has always been, if you need anything during this, just let me know.
And
I feel like that opens it up. So if someone's like, oh, kind of, you know, my arm's sore, or can I stretch out my hand or whatever, then I feel like people are a little more comfortable to say that once you, like, invite that.
Mm-hmm.
But even on top of that, the more I think about it, and, you know, just during this conversation, that, you know, I could probably check in even more.
Yeah. And I don't think it hurts, you know.
Right. And I think people are... It's never going to be a bad thing. No one's going to be annoyed that you check into.
Because sometimes people just want the break, or they don't want the break. Maybe they don't want you taking 25 cigarette breaks, you know, because it hurts worse getting you back into a tattoo.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we know when people shouldn't take another break.
Yeah.
For their own good, whether they realize it or not.
Yep. I've had to, let's keep them shorter and you'll probably be happier through this process. Like,
yeah. Yeah, we don't want them to be in pain, but it's just part of the process. And sometimes you have to get the pain done faster.
Yeah,
and that's the only relief you'll ever find.
It's my least favorite part because I tend to be very, like, I feel myself getting to the point where I'm, like, overly sensitive with that. Like, I don't have that, like, I know artists that are awesome about turning that off. And they're like, just suck it up and get through this. And I'm like, oh, man.
That's like my last resort.
Yeah. And I'm like, if you need to stop, we can always pick up like another time. Like, I'm not going to like murder you. It's just a piece of art at the end, you know, like just want you to have a good experience and not be bummed out, you know?
Yeah. But then on the other side of it, you can always say that the, you know, overcoming that difficult experience is part of what makes you feel like $1 million after you get tattooed.
So. Like you earned it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's such a crazy mental thing that people go through when they get tattooed.
It's interesting. It is. Yeah.
There's a lot to it.
Yeah. It's like a willingness to be tortured for the end product.
Right.
Like,
yeah. There's not many other places in life where we subject ourselves to that willingly.
No. Like the gym, I think maybe. That's like, I don't know.
Right. And probably more people get tattooed than go to the gym now.
That's pretty close.
And like really
think,
put
yeah.
in work at the gym.
Yeah. Yeah. Put in work. Yeah.
So now let's switch gears a little and segue. Let's talk about our pain as tattooers. So I had made note of a few of your Instagram posts that I'd mentioned before. And I wanted to start off with the one that was entitled, Is It Real? And that was in reference, I guess you posed the question, to what extent is, and now this is posed to like artists and tattooers, to what extent is depression or anxiety real versus self-induced? And for everyone listening, I want to give a disclaimer because when you talk about mental health issues, I don't want anyone to get bummed. So no part of this discussion is like trying to diminish or debunk anyone's issues.
No. As a matter of fact, I live with...
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So I would never try and...
So right off the bat, we both agree that depression, anxiety, this stuff is very real and it's always case by case and it can be rooted in internal or external factors or whatever. So let's get that out of the way first. And a lot of this stuff is directed and for this show, what I was interested in is in the context of the life of an artist or a tattooer more specifically and how these things can affect our work and how that can spill out into, you know, our relationships and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think? To what extent is depression or anxiety real versus self-induced?
Well, I mean, the hardest part is when I'm writing this stuff, I'm writing it like, and I want to come back quickly to the question you had asked that I got so diverted from. What made me write it? When I started writing these, I heard everybody bitching about apprentices, like, or young tattooers. And I was like, man, everybody's bitching about them, but nobody's talking to them. So the initial post that, like, I have earliest on were actually like things they should have told you in your apprenticeship. And it was like educational, like facets nobody told you, like job isn't always roses, you know, like stuff like that. When I started moving more into this part, what I found was the stuff that why they followed me or listened, like I don't really post art as much anymore. Most of the stuff I post are my thoughts. And it's stuff that I dealt with during my career. So when I'm saying this stuff, I'm never like, I'm not an analyst, like I'm not a therapist, and I'm not like trained to clinically diagnose anybody or any of that stuff. I'm merely talking about my own experiences, and I've experienced depression on debilitating depression. I had been, you know, had seen therapists. I'd been on medication at one point, and I was going through what I call stress-induced depression. Like life had hit. Like I was going through divorce and children custody battles and affairs and all and two heavy workloads. And I wasn't. Nobody teaches coping skills. That's the one. Like nowadays, you hear all these people talk about like, these kids are entitled and everybody gets a trophy. And the reason why the trophy thing sucks is because nobody's teaching kids how to cope with failure. So you hear social media gets blamed all the time for like crushing people's souls. You know, oh my God, I compare myself with this. Well, nobody taught them to ever compare or be compared in a critical way to realize maybe you do suck at that thing. And that's okay.
Right. It's okay to suck.
It's okay to suck at that. Yeah. So they're not being taught coping skills as children. The parents want to coddle them, and they, you know, and then they go to school, and now schools are coddling them, and nobody wants their feelings hurt. We live in like the time where it's like offensive to hurt someone's feelings and just be like, hey, I'm not trying to be mean. This just might not be the best course in life for you. Like as an outsider, I know your heart's in it, but you haven't like made a straight line in a month, and you know, like you aren't a good artist, and this is a very competitive field, and it's okay to not be a tattoo artist. Maybe you're not meant to be. Maybe you're meant to be a chef or a doctor or something. Like you don't have to take the career you're like we were talking about earlier. I would love to just meander across country. Like if that was a job, like just meandering across country, I'm awesome at it. Like I'm really good at it. Like I'm really good at getting in my car and just driving around. Like it brings me joy. But it doesn't mean that should be my job. Like it just doesn't. Like
right. We all can't achieve our dreams necessarily.
Necessarily, and that's okay. And the problem is that people believe like, but I really love art. Okay.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Like every kid with a set box of crayons loves art. Like I love skateboarding as a kid. Being a professional skateboarder was not in my like life plan. It's what I thought I was going to do all the way up till I was 18. Mm-hmm. Just didn't work out that way. I would have liked to have been in a band, you know, like it's like.
Well, yeah, yeah. Because I think a lot of people don't realize that you can love art or music or anything expressive. But when it's your job, for most people, it's not going to feel like anything resembling what they think they love.
What they think they love. Yeah. And there's a part of me that like sometimes I don't regret it. But there's a part of me that like I miss being a kid who drew for fun and not being a guy who drew for a paycheck because there's new responsibilities that come along with that. And that stresses people out. And so then they struggle with that. So when I had brought up the, is it real? I had some backlash to that. And some of it was like, maybe you're not on the life path you're supposed to be. And that's why you're unhappy. You're unfulfilled is because you're stressed because you can't keep up in a field you were never meant to keep up with in the first place. And so your stress is caused by you, by not trying new things and expanding your world. Like when I walked away, like I was stressed. I knew I was not going to produce my best work. I knew like, and then as soon as I got away, I wasn't depressed. I wasn't stressed anymore. I was all of a sudden like, oh, I can breathe again. I still had the responsibilities, but my kids are old enough that they are okay. I got an amazing ex-wife that is like, make sure they're, you know, taken care of. And so they kind of saw what I was going through and where I was at mentally, and they allowed me to do it. Like it was a very talked about, like, this is what's going to happen. And they were encouraging of like, because what's the alternative if you're like in a bad mental place? Like it can get rough for some of these people out there. And I don't think sometimes people like drowning myself in whiskey and you know, or whatever, like that was no solution for anybody. How's my family going to win in that in the long run? Or continually pushing myself till I get to the point that like suicide becomes optional or whatever, you know, like that's not healthy for anybody. So sometimes maybe, you know, you hear like suicide's a, you know, coward's way out. Well, maybe going on vacation for like the 3 months was my coward's way out. Like I'm going to step away and I'm going to clear my fucking head and I'm going to come back sorted. And like, now I feel like a million, but like I could conquer the world, but I needed that break. I needed that like mental vacation.
Do you think it really let you face your problems head on? Or was it more that you were just realizing that your problems weren't as pressing or as crazy?
For me, I did like, so on my journey, I did a lot of introspective work. I needed to be alone during it and to like start to dissect the like, why am I, you know, like, how did I get to this? And so it was a very like personal journey for that. And it's interesting because if we come back to the like parts of like the, is it real? I was getting to a point recently with the job that I had where I was like, I was having anxiety attacks. Like I was having like straight anxiety attacks coming to work. And I was like, I'm not sad. Like I'm not miserable. Like, why am I having anxiety attacks? Like I make pictures for a living. And I work with a guy who's like this guy who's pretty good with him, and I get to talk back and forth, and he's a good guy to share ideas with. And I came in one day and I was like, man, I can't keep doing this. I think I'm just going to take the day off. I'm going to go home and take a nap or something. Like I can't be here today. And he was like, I know you love to hike and you love to, you know, write. And he was like, but go to a movie or go take yourself on a date, you know, like go do something that's out of the ordinary from your daily life, you know? And so I went and saw like Spider-Man, you know, whatever. And I don't ever go to the movie theaters anymore, you know? I don't really entertain myself those ways too much. So I went there and I, you know, splurged and got the popcorn, you know, like did the whole, you know, like I was a kid in the theater again. And it was like super refreshing. And then that night, like I sat and meditated on it and was like, what was going on? Like, where was that? And I had realized like the anxiety has been coming from this frustration of no growth as a tattoo artist. So I was really like frustrated. I wasn't depressed and I wasn't like, I was having anxiety because I had put myself into a position where I was doing work that was unfulfilling for far too long. And that was like, kind of like this foot on my chest of like, you're holding yourself back. Like, you know what you're capable of and you're not living within that capability. And so that was like, oh, it's frustration. Like that's what that was frustration. That was the root of that anxiety, was really just frustration with the fact that I'm not taking the next step in my life that I need to take. And it was my brain telling me like, you're not living where you should be living right now. And once I got to that, I was like, oh, okay, easy. So I talked to the boss and I was like, hey, I think I need to wrap up my time here. I need to go work in a studio I'm going to feel fulfilled in, that I'm going to be able to take projects in that are going to make me feel fulfilled, because I know that I'm more capable than the work here is allowing. And then I made that move. And as soon as I did, it was like, just people who knew me were like, you look lighter. And I'm like, oh, I feel like 110% lighter. Like, mm-hmm. Because I made the right choice for how my life needed to be. Like I was making those adjustments. And you'll see like a lot of people will continue to live in misery. They live in like, they're in these relationships and they hate the person they're with and they sleep in separate bedrooms. And you're like, why are you doing, like, get the hell out. Like, why would you do that? Like, you're miserable. You're making them miserable. Everybody around you is miserable because we have to hear how miserable you are. Like, take the step to change that misery. Yeah. And I don't think it's like, it's not maybe courageous. It's just people, like, they're so afraid to try new things, but they're willing to suffer in the old things that like aren't working. And that to me is like, I learned about myself. Like, I will not sit in that madness of like that misery. Like, life is far too short. And I hear these people that are like, man, you just gotta toughen it out. Fuck that. Like, because what am I going to do? 30 years of being miserable? Like, that's mad. Like, that's all you want to spend your time on earth? Like, I just did what I needed to do to survive. Like, no, I did what I did because I wanted to be happy. Like, I do want to be happy. Like, that's something I want to share with my children. That's something worth, not like I sat here every day and life sucked, but I, you know, gave you a chance at life. Yeah, Dad. And you were miserable the whole time and you took it out on us because you were fucking miserable. Bravo. Like, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for suffering for us. You know, like you took on that suffering and then you put it on other people. Like,
right.
And I watched that stuff happen all the time.
Yeah.
And so that part, I became a little bit like more in tuned with myself. Like, I just don't. And I don't think, you know, that people like, is it hippie-ish? Well, maybe I think they want to be happy. Some other people love sitting in the suffering. Like, they enjoy that. I don't want to do that anymore. Like, I don't think that's
right. And I think
that's not my journey.
Yeah. And, like, when you put it that way and you explain it that way, it makes perfect sense. I don't know how anyone could feel differently. But it also, to me, it seems like having that frame of mind, you know, the journey that you took to get there, it takes a lot of like self-awareness that a lot of people lack. And that's where it can be hard because you have to believe that to like be able to make those steps. You know, like you truly have to believe that that's the path that you want to take to say, I'm going to leave this job and I'm going to start somewhere else again.
Yeah.
And I know that it's, you know, when you explain it that way, it seems so simple. It's if you're in a toxic relationship, just get out. But when you're in it, there's so many factors keeping you in. And it's hard for people to do it unless they really achieve what it sounds like you've achieved as far as like what you want for yourself in your life.
Well, I think we make a lot of excuses
totally.
Of why we need to do this. Like, well,
it's never so simple. There's, you know, there can be kids and, you know.
And being the product of divorce, man, I was excited when my parents got divorced because the other alternative sucked. Like, what are you going to stay with them for 18 years and watch them fight every day? Like, that's terrible. But I feel like we can, like, in myself, like, I'm happy-ish, you know, like, I'm not like one of these, like, I see people that are like always smiling and always happy. Like, if I'm smiling a lot of times, I might be part of like me just forcing, like, it doesn't come natural, let's say.
Yeah.
But I'd rather work towards that, being able to be like that, like a, and maybe one day I like, you know, like, what's that saying? Like, if you pretend long enough, it, you know, you might just become it. Like, and I had found these things where I was like, oh man, I really like, I talked about that today, like in one of the write-ups I did about being like how we're kind of married. I made a comparison to being married to our jobs. And you get to these points where you become like a little bit cynical in the job. And, you know, you had talked with Sean and a couple other guys, a barber, about complaining. Tattoo artists, why do they complain? Which I thought was ironic because it was followed up by a segment on Yelp reviews. And then I'm like, well, do tattoo artists really complain more than other people? Or are we just around more tattoo artists? Like, I think everybody complains about whatever their thing is. And I think it's healthy to complain. Like, some people, like I had someone yesterday who kind of like was like, if you don't like it, get the fuck out, you know, type of thing, mentality with tattooing. And I disagreed a little because I was like, hey man, you can bitch about it and still love it. Like, it's good to let that, it's like if you, it's, I call it crimp hoe syndrome. When people like, they crimp a hose like a, you know, and they let stuff build up and build up and build up and build up. And by the time they let it out, all the frustrations in their relationships and the frustrations at work and the frustrations that, you know, in life in general. And then they let it out and it comes out like a torrent, like a hose that's just, you know, been let go, and or like a balloon, you know, that's like whipping around the room and it's just taken out on everybody around them. And it's not, they never meant to hurt everybody around them or to like vocally like destroy people or whatever, verbally like lash out. They had let everything build up so long that by the time they like expounded it or like released it, it just was on everybody. It's okay to be like, fuck man, my client sucked today. Or, you know, if I have to do one more of these finger tattoos, like, who's it hurting? And for the people that complain about tattoo artists complain, guess what? You're complaining.
It's true.
Like you're doing it right now. Like, yeah. Oh, fucking everybody complains about tattooing, but you're complaining about the fucking you're complaining to. So allow, like, I said, just walk out the room. Like, let them have it. And then go on with your day. It's just okay. And, you know, like, I think that's why the tattoo memes are so popular right now. It's a form of expression to complain. That's what they are. I don't like the fact that we complain about our clients and so much in front of them all the time.
Yeah,
like,
I think that's
bad business, you know, like posting that shit on your profile page. Yeah. That, like, if you want to joke about it, like.
Yeah, I love the memes, but that's always been my stance that I wish it wasn't so public because I think it turns off clients. I've had people that are like, oh, I didn't know if I should write you. Like, I saw this other page and like, I don't want to be annoying. And it's like, it's cool that they're thinking of like how they do it, but like, they don't have to walk on eggshells.
Yeah. But I think that that's what that's become. That's the form of like, that's why they get shared and go viral is because
memes are relatable. That's like the name of the game.
Yeah. And so these people are like, man, they've got the same bitching complaint that I've got. And like, mm-hmm. And so I think it's natural. Like, I'm not opposed to it. Sometimes it's like, yeah, we do have an awesome job, but it's not always easy. And I'll hear like people like sometimes that are like, you know, it's because you didn't have another job before this. Well, no, I was also college educated and would have left school making six figures and chose this path. So I didn't have, like, my other job would have never been like burying bodies in a graveyard. Like, that was not my other job option. I chose this field, like, it, you know, and willingly. And I don't think that that's like there's a lot of fucking shitty jobs out there. And some of those people that do those jobs actually love what they do and are probably upset that you're comparing your job to what you think is their shitty job.
Right. Like, yeah, some ditch diggers out there like, what the fuck? Why are you saying that
again? Why is it always us, man? I love this. This is the best. I get exercise. I'm out in the sun. Like, this is a great job. Like, I don't know why everybody thinks this job's fuck it. I hope they never show up. Like,
right. Yeah. They're stoked. And yeah. I smoke cigarettes all day.
Dude, this is I've been drunk since I started this job. Like, you know, or whatever. Like, might be the best job ever. I don't know. I've never, like, I've dug some ditch. It's not so bad. Like, you get in shape, man. I don't know.
Well, I think all that whole outlook is part of like the antiquated, like the stereotype of how we're supposed to be as tattooers. And a lot of that falls into, I think, with like complacency of people falling into that. And I've been thinking about it more lately. And I almost feel like I wouldn't have even been comfortable talking about it like publicly like this a couple years ago even. Because I was so like infected by that, like, this is the way tattooers are. This is the way you're supposed to feel. You have to do it this way. Otherwise, you don't respect it. You don't love it. You're treating it poorly and you're like not carrying the torch properly.
Oh, yeah.
And the more I really break down that stuff, it's just weird because, sure, I love and respect tattooing, mm-hmm. just like you love and respect tattooing. But to be able to admit that no one person is the same as any other, and we all have our own lives and we all have our own circumstances and we mm-hmm. all come from different places. And especially with tattooing, there's no standardized way in. So, yes. You know, we're just the makeup of all of our experiences in tattooing as well. So that makes us even more different, which I think is also why it's interesting to have conversations like this and to be able to share with each other and everything. But it's like you can't expect everyone to fall into this category, especially one that was born like decades ago, where no other place in our life are we following the same like social standards or rules as the 1970s or 80s or even 90s.
Or 2,000 years ago, or when that, what's that Iceman's name, Otzi, the prehistoric person with the tattoo. Like, mm-hmm. we're comparing ourselves to some illusion of what tattooing was really from the 60s, maybe ish, up through the 80s. Not like the long history of tattooing, like in which case maybe it was more like medicinal use originally, or maybe it was a coming of age thing. Like, maybe it wasn't about anchors and, you know, like Sailor Jerry Flash. Maybe it was about getting a dot on your kneecap or whatever. I don't know, like, what that character has, but we're comparing it to a false narrative right out the gate anyways to justify like our own narrative. Like, this is the part of tattooing I'm attached to and attracted to. So that's all that tattooing ever was. Well, no, it's far grander than that. I mean, there was a time when people in the Victorian era were getting tattooed because, like, wealthy people were getting tattooed. Like, that's a part of our history. Like, there was a time when the Japanese started doing the block print tattoo, creating the art form and telling these stories. That's a different part of our history. There's a time on island somewhere where they were tapping a tattoo into someone's face, and they weren't loyal to the coil.
Well, that's like, why they're fucking posers.
But, you know, like, and I'm not trying to, like, put that down. It just is because I'm friends with these people. They're all my, you know, like, I've been around enough to, I've learned on coils, and I admire what's happening with the equipment. I'm glad that there's technological advances, and we shouldn't be opposed to the fact that things are changing around us. But when you put your own narrative into the fact, like, I'm going to isolate others because my way is the right way and everybody else is an idiot. Well, you're just as egotistical as the other person that you're mad about. You just have a different, like, you took it out a different way. Mm-hmm. These are the things I've like think about with tattoo. Like, so when I write, this is all the dumb shit that goes on in my head. Yeah. And I think about this a lot because I'm like, where do I stand on this? Like when the like coil rotary thing came up, where do I stand on this? Like, I like the technology. I don't think that coils line as good as rotaries. I think rotaries got something going there, or coils have something going when it comes to lining. I can normally tell, like if I look at a piece, but
I think that's what I like about how you write, because I feel like your thought process is the closest I've seen in like a public forum that I can relate to. And even if I, you know, stuff you come out with, whether I agree with it or not, the way that you consider it and the way you talk about it, I feel like is something that I try to do within myself too, which to me, it seems like a more constructive way to look at anything.
Well, there's got to be something to being open-minded to the whole thing about it, especially because like, I don't expect when I write, I don't expect anybody to really give a fuck about what I'm saying or agree with me. Most of the times I don't agree with myself. I'll write stuff and change my opinion in the writing.
Right. Like, but that's what's great about it, because you're not just trying to convince someone, and you're not trying to just be right all the time. Like, you're actually putting thoughtful, you know, thoughtful ideas into the public.
It's trying to like, I try to pose questions of stuff that I'm curious about, like, where is tattooing going? Like, and in a realistic way, like, we can't lock down to a history that's already changed. You know, like, the reality is technology is changing. The, you know, teaching is a part of the, like, when people like are so anti-tattoo school sometimes, I'm like, you have no idea about the fact that we are now mainstream. And if people who go to beauty school have to go to beauty school, you're going to end up going to tattoo school, like it or not. Who are the professors going to be? And maybe you should start thinking about that. Maybe, like, when I do this stuff, I'm lining myself up for the, like, this is my lineup for the future. It's because I'm not going to be a 70-year-old man tattooing, maybe, but I'd love to be one teaching a history class on it somewhere. Like, this is the future, and it's coming. Whether we like it or not, it's the ball has already been put in the court, and you have got to learn that, like it or not, adapt or you become a dinosaur.
Do you think there's been any good examples of a tattoo school that you've seen or heard of that is actually set up thoughtfully and properly?
No, well, I haven't. And I think one of the things is, one, it's so, I brought up the idea before to friends of mine who were like well-known tattooers in the scheme of things. From all, I thought, man, like, what if you set it up and it was from like, you had the best of the traditional guy was teaching that course in the best of, you know, this field. And I had brought it up and the like, you're a fucking idiot. How dare you bring this into the, like, this will never go. And I was like, if you don't start thinking about it now, someone's going to think about it for you. I mean, you have self-appointed people like becoming presidents of organizations with tattooing. And it's like, when did we get to talk? Where was the talk? And if you have tattoo artists that are so amped about battling like over coil versus rotary and not having legitimate conversations, I mean, I think the reason why people have gravitated to what I write is it's a real conversation that we're having. Like, I'm trying to provoke thought in like, we can to some degree, we didn't control anything and we allowed everybody to do it. And now we're becoming, and then we victimized ourselves, like, because we didn't have the courage or didn't have the like mental like foresight to be like, holy shit, this TV thing's really gonna fucking get a hold of us. Why are we not putting our own producers in? Why are we not creating our own shows? Why are we not choosing the people that go on and are representatives? Because when you're on those shows, you're a representative. So if you look like an asshole, you make us all look like assholes. And some of these people will play into that role because they just want the fame. And they're like, I willingly became the asshole, like, because that's what the show wanted. And you're like, you're a representative of our whole community as a whole. Every time you go onto the show, how you speak, if you're not intellectual and to some degree and can talk about your career, if your whole thing is how you treat people shitty, if you're like Instagram feeds and you got a million followers and you're like not a good human being and you're projecting that out into the world, you're a representative for all of us. And more so than someone like me that has less followers, and even more so than the poor guy who has no followers, who's like, how come nobody's speaking for me? Like, I'm a part of this community too. Mm-hmm. And now I got to have these fucking clowns that are doing this fashion show in some city, you know, like being my representative of what tattooing is. And you're not my representative at all. Like, you don't represent any part of tattooing that I want. Like, I don't care about the flashy cars, and I'm glad that that's a thing we can acquire. Like, I really am. I think that's awesome that we've hit that point where we can acquire nice things if you really want to like have that world. But at the same time, that's not the full representation of us. And I think we all deserve to be represented. From the kids in the street shop that I hear, like, I'll, you know, do these events where we're, you know, like teaching, and they're all custom artists who are talking and are like, this is what I do, and this is what I do, and this is what I do. And yeah, these kids are aspiring to be there, but none of the information is fully relevant to the poor kid doing the fucking Pinterest tattoos all day, who isn't like, I don't even know how to design a sleeve. I've never even had a client come in to even ask for a piece, you know, is like bigger than his hand, you know, like, and so there's like this level where people are kind of like, inadvertently talking down about that group. Like, there's a necessity for the street shop person. They play a very important role to the custom guy or woman. And the reason why is because you don't want to do that shit. But those people really want that shit. And I think you had a guy, I didn't really catch the interview, but there was a guy who was like making custom tattoo drawings.
Yeah, his company, there's like a third party that designs your custom tattoo.
Yeah, and he had said something that I'd call like a little excerpt where he had kind of was like, I know your business better than you do, kind of thing. And I don't think to some degree he's off in the fact that a lot of tattoo artists don't listen to their clients at all. They want to do what they want to do. They don't want to do what the client wants. They actually talk the client out of getting what the client wants because they think that their idea is more valid, or like, we're just in such a weird, tattooing such a weird thing of like, it's just a weird place.
There's so many cooks in the kitchen now. There's all types.
There's all types, yeah. Coming back to it, it's like, who's educating them? You're getting mad because these people aren't educated, but nobody, like, I don't take on apprentices. I've tried in the past and they get about like a couple weeks in and then they don't work out. So who's taking on the apprentices? Because I've seen a lot of apprentices that are taken on by people that are apprentices, like that are like second year tattoo artists or third year tattoo artists that like maybe shouldn't take on an apprenticeship. Or people that have been in the game for a long time and are like not connected to
the world to hustle them through because they want someone to work for them or whatever.
Yeah, they're looking for employees or they're looking for so like I said, when I first started the like things you don't know learn as a tattoo artist, like that was a big thing. Like, who's teaching them? Like, who's telling them? And then you're going to be mad that like this idea of like schooling comes in and then you're mad because they're uneducated. Like,
yeah,
so
I noticed that, like, that contradiction.
There's a really strange rub there that's happening, like where it's like, you're mad because these people don't appreciate the past, but you didn't teach it to them. So the minute you didn't teach it to them, you no longer have the right to tell them they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Well, it's not my job to teach them, they would say.
And whose is?
Well, nobody. They shouldn't tattoo. And it's like, okay, so from this point on, no one learns to tattoo. It's as great as that would be for us.
Yeah.
It's just not realistic.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely, I'm right there with you where there needs to be a solution, and it probably won't resemble anything that exists right now.
No, and it's going to come. I mean, there's no way it can't. You're talking about a business that's been, you know, an industry that has long been known for not wanting to be infiltrated by outsiders. That is now, there was like a gateway opened, and they are all like Trojan horse style, have all like showed up, and everybody's looking for their dimes, and they're, and then what happens from there is, well, you don't want to do it, or you're mad. Like, guess what? The floodgate opened. Like, better start to fucking deal with it. Like, you can't build that dam now. You better start building boats. Like,
yeah. The only good answer is that we recognize that and we start to try to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
That's the only way to like keep any sort of control or like any
and
order.
And that's, you know, like I wish I had a different forum for the way I try to like put information out there or start conversations, because Instagram was the easiest, but I'm like so limited. I get like, you know, I have to fit like 10 pages worth of writing into like, you know, two chapters or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was a way to get people, like, you don't have to agree with me. The beauty is you don't have to agree, like, but we do need to have a conversation and come to some, you know, like, look at the state of America and the politics right now. We're like, if you don't think polarization can destroy something, like, look where we're at right now, where you got fucking people don't even want to talk because they're like so polarized. So you have got to have like an intelligent sit down. Like, I understand you have all the right in the world to that opinion. And this is where I'm at. So where's our middle ground? Because that's where shit happens. Like, so how do we come to terms? Like, how do we come to terms on this? Like, you don't want the school. I think people need education. How do we form it so that you feel like I didn't fuck over this and you had some say in it because you're a part of it too? Like, your view matters. It does. Your opinion matters. Like,
well, let's dig into that then. Let's talk about a tattoo school. So to me, what I've always thought is that the reason that we all don't like it is because it just lets anybody in. There's like no vetting of someone.
But does it? So
I don't know.
So in college, you have to, and I'm pretty sure in art college, you have to submit a portfolio. So that's the beginning, right? So you have to submit a portfolio to be accepted into the schooling. Okay. That's how most schools work. That's like that's a thing. Or if you're going to an intellectual college, you have to submit something that says you did good enough in school to be accepted. Sorry, it's kind of a dumb. You don't get to go to college this year. Go work on that. Come back later when you aren't, you know? So in art, in tattooing, let's say you have to submit a portfolio of your work. And then you have courses that are based on like a school. Like, okay, guess what? You're going to learn money management, how to manage your finances and your business, because you're a business as a tattoo artist. As soon as you became self-employed, you were your own business. So how do I do that? Okay. So here's how you do that. And I need to learn some history because it's good to know my roots and where I came from. So now I get to learn the history and lineage of my craft. And that's a course, right? And then you learn like basic drawing and you learn client handling. That's an awesome course. Like, how to like talk with a person, because I mean, I keep seeing these people that are like, I'm anxiety driven or ridden and all this stuff, and I can't be around people and they can't balance their goddamn emails and all this stuff. I get it. It's tough. Maybe this isn't the job. Maybe you're more stressed out because you took a job that wasn't for you. And maybe in the first years of school, you learn how to do that stuff. Like a kid, you know, like, I like that my daughter's goes to, like, after school, she goes in as a waitress because she's learning how to handle people. Like, that's an important thing to learn, like how to deal with people, how to deal with a tough client. Yeah. And if you don't have that education, you better get it. And so you're going to do it in this job when it's like super demanding because you're like really dealing with people like on a heavy day-to-day basis, but you can't handle people, then maybe you weren't meant to be the job. And maybe that's the course that fails you out of school. And so you have a system where you have to keep grades and you have to keep a certain GPA. And if you don't, you don't get to do the job. Mm. You never make it. That's the weeding process.
Right.
The weeding process is in the fact that, like, you put in the work, you got that. You know, it's not like I got fucking hazed in my tattoo apprenticeship and they, you know, tried to put a broom handle, you know, like whatever. Like, no, you like didn't make it because you weren't good enough to make it. And then the people that you're, you know, kind of taking the cream of the crop. And that's who you get to scatter the tattoo world with.
Right.
And now you're have this like really good people that have excelled and done the work and have the education. And they're being put out into these situations to learn how to handle clients. And they know how to handle businesses. And they've become professionals. And now you have a real professional. Like, I don't see why this is such a like bad idea.
Well, the way you're explaining it doesn't sound like as bad of an idea as what we know as a tattoo school now.
But it should be something that is, it's got to be something that people come to terms to agree on. And you've got to be able to have these sit downs where it's designed by a roundtable community where people's voices get to be heard. Like, yeah. What do you think is important? What should we put in this? Mm-hmm. And we're going to create this program that you're all going to agree to hire from or abide by if this becomes like a thing. What would you like to see these people do? Like, what kind of person would you want to hire? Because you went through 30 fucking tattoo artists last year and hated them all, like as a business owner. So who do you want to hire? What would be an ideal employee? Someone who knows how to handle their business and deal with clients and draws proficiently. Sounds good. Like, that sounds good. I think that that's the future. I think there's a future there.
I mean, it seems inevitable.
It seems inevitable, yeah. Because we're like the only thing right now kind of still like in this, you know, field like this. Like, you know, when I go back to Ohio taxes tattooing, like it's a beauty salon service, right? Mm-hmm. But we don't have the salon service education. Like, there's no like... whatever that fucking hair salon is that, you know, like Vidal Sassoon, like school or whatever. Yeah. So it's going to happen, but who are you going to let do it? Like,
but do you think that to structure schools like that, that are more successful and do create more tattooers, is that going to just completely blow it out and oversaturate things even worse than it is currently?
Like, can it get more blown out? And I mean, you have people.
I mean, I think it could.
I think if you put a cap on the fact that, like, the reality is at any point in any town, there are people that don't even, never had any, they watched a episode of Ink Master, thought they could tattoo, and now own a tattoo studio. Like, mm-hmm. That's a realistic thing.
Yeah.
Can it get more saturated than that? Like, and would you, like, the field's going to be more competitive. You're going to have to work harder. The dropout rate would be bigger. I think that's who's going to, the people who like don't think they can keep up might be the most intimidated by that prospect, because it's good to have the really bad tattoo artists out there because, well, I'm better than them, right? Like, so there's that. Like,
yeah, right.
But I think, you know, like, we're really in a business where everybody thinks that they can be a tattoo artist. And like, if I went on Instagram today, I could show you like one out of every 2,000 things I flip through are people that should tattoo, like, you know, like, and maybe that would kind of wean some of that out, you know, but nobody wants to hear it. Like, that's the part where people would,
it would wean it out by creating more able people.
Or... I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A healthier level of competition.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough. It's a scary thing to think about as someone who's getting older and as a tattooer and stuff, to feel that, you know, the push of people younger than you. And that's always been the case. But when it's like on the cusp of something that could really just like create a lot more great tattooers faster and more efficiently and more successfully, then I can't imagine talking a lot of the types of tattooers who should be involved with those sorts of things into actually doing it.
No, yeah. And that's probably what would hold it back, is fear. But it's going to happen now instead. You just open up, you have a floodgate that's already open of a million incompetents and, you know, and some people that are like tattoo circles around you. And well, and in 5 years we'll tattoo circles around them. Like, I mean, our work is already being compared. Like, one of the things that I noticed as a tattoo artist with, you know, with a career longer than MySpace or whatever, is that when the social media did hit, you no longer were compared to the studio down the street. You became compared to, like, it was different being in the magazines, because if you were in the magazines, like, it wasn't like as much of a level of comparison as it was like, oh man, that guy's really good. If I ever make it to that area, I'd get tattooed by that guy, right, or whatever.
Yeah, it was a lot more selective.
It was a little, yeah. And when you got to the thing where, like, you know, on Instagram, right, at any given point right now, I could look at like 200 amazing tattoos from people in, you know, from Russia to Mexico to, you know, Canada or whatnot. And when magazines first happened, you know, or were happening in America, it was like, you might see work from someone overseas a couple times, you know, like in some of the international magazines to some, most of it was like localized to the United States, it felt, you know, like maybe Stéphane Chaudhuset or, you know, like people like that, you know, Tintin or whatever. But I think they were traveling over here too. So you might see their work, but it was more like localized. And now, like, I'm like, oh yeah, Russia's got the best game in the house. Like, you know, you're seeing these places where you're like, I can't tattoo like that. Like, I don't even know where to begin. And then your client comes in and they're like, hey man, like, I know you can tattoo. Can you tattoo like this? And I'm like, no, I can't tattoo. No, I can't. I just cannot. I cannot tattoo like that. And you might have to make a trip over there, or, you know, like, you need to find that person if you want that product.
Right.
'Cause I don't even know how to begin. Like, I wouldn't even know where to start. I mean, competition is like fierce right now, but you're competing with people that almost don't really exist, because you're competing with a picture of the work of someone that these people will never get tattooed by too. Like, what are the chances that someone in, like, you know, Northern New Hampshire, the average person, is going to make a trip over to, you know, Australia to get tattooed,
right,
versus, but have you seen the work this guy's doing? But you're not that good. You know, like, it's an interesting comparison where, like,
yeah, stuff is
putting
so specific.
Ourselves towards, yeah.
Yeah, people bring in the stuff and they just want you to just be that, which is kind of like killing artistry and tattooing.
Yeah.
At like the street shop level for sure.
Yeah.
And I can only vouch for my own experience. And it's like, I'm constantly trying to, I'm like towing the line. And like we were talking about before, I don't want to spend my days like, beating what I think my own style is down their throats if they're not looking for it. But at the same time, it's like, it kind of sucks to always just be trying to emulate something else. And I've learned a lot from doing that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, you know, the same thing you're going through, it's not always as fulfilling as being able to like just do, like, explore your own avenues.
No, and it's a weird thing. Like, for me, when that became part of what people were looking, is because to me, you were paying. There was this idea of like you were buying something original. So you were buying something nobody else could do, you know, like if you paid me to do a tattoo. And I still felt like if you let me do it, it's not going to, like, there's nobody who's going to emulate really like the style I do or whatever I'm doing. Now I'm doing more, I find myself doing more like B-rated versions of other people's products because they want this product. And you're like, well, I can try and emulate it the best I can. In doing so, what happened to me is like I lost so much artistic joy that like I barely create original content these days. Like, mm-hmm. It's like I'm hoping that maybe this move changes that, because I'm going back to a place where there are people that allow me a little bit more freedom. But this like last, you know, year or whatever of trying to like consistently placating the clientele with ideas that are not my work. It's like, you know, it's if you like became a chef, if you were like spent your whole life trying to be this like awesome chef of like French food, let's say, and then all of a sudden everybody's like, well, do you make Chinese food, or, you know, do you make like burritos? And you're like, I don't know. Hey, I could throw one in the microwave. I guess. Like, I don't know. Like, it's not going to be that good, because this is the food I'm really good at making. So maybe this is what the food you should eat if you're in my restaurant.
Well, that's a good comparison, because I feel like I'm making the microwave burrito version of like the beautiful Mexican food that people are aspiring for.
Yeah.
To get as tattoos.
Yeah. Like the top. Yeah. Like yeah. you're trying to be like this top chef and yeah. you're like, oh man, I feel like a McDonald's employee right now because I can't make it. Like I can't make that, but I can make what I do really well. Like I'm really good at that. Like I'm good at that.
Well, I don't like that. So I would like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's not what I want. Yeah. Yeah.
No, so. I would like to ask you for the finest example of this style that's like so specific and that nobody else could ever do. It's, I don't know. And it's like, how do you explain that to a customer and have them understand it? Sometimes they do.
Yeah, some do. Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of times you can try to explain that and they say, you know, they nod their head and they think that they understand it. But in the back of my head the whole time, I'm like, fuck, they're going to be bummed out because it's never going to be that for me.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's one of the beat ups I think that's happening right now in the, like, is it real? Like the depression thing is that, like, I know at the end of the day, I don't do lettering, but I know guys like Big Meese that are awesome at lettering, yeah. you know, Sam Taylor, whatever these guys are, you know, and then if I had to do lettering, I'm comparing it the whole time to these guys. Like, mm-hmm. how would they have done it? That would have been so much better than this. Like, but that's what they love and they're doing what they love, you know? And yeah. then you beat yourself up because you're like, well, I tried to do this like neo-traditional tattoo or this traditional tattoo. And then, but I fell super short because I know what is capable. And so then there's that internal like abuse that we do where we're like trying to compare ourselves to the work of others, but we're not singing our own song, you know, like, and so we're mad because we can't hit the high notes, but we're
which
like,
we were never intended to hit
but
anyway.
We're like an alto. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. And that's totally a symptom of social media, just the access to all these things that, I mean, it wasn't that long ago where a customer would come in and say, I want to get this flower. And they'd bring in like a computer printout of an actual photo of a flower. But I can't remember the last time that really happened a lot. It's always photos of other tattoos because people are just looking at other tattoos.
And you got to wonder to some degree, like how responsible, you know, you can blame social media, but how responsible were the TV shows that tried to make everybody an ink master instead of letting them be what they were? You know, like you're going to ask a new school guy like Jimmy Litwalk or Jesse Smith to do like a black and gray portrait. It's not what they do.
That's
like,
a good point. Yeah, I never thought about
and
that.
And so you had these shows that are asking these people to like step completely out of their like comfort zone and produce. And then you get an audience that's witnessing all these people producing this stuff. Like, well, they're an artist. That's what they do is they draw. So they can draw anything.
Right.
But they can't. Like, we're not all meant to draw all the same type of stuff. That would be so like, what's the point? Mm-hmm. Like, I think we all are, you know, like if you are an artist, you better to some degree believe your voice is the most important part of being an artist. And now you're asked daily to not sing. Like, I don't want to hear what you have. Like, just be a cover band. And I hope you're content with that. And I think like a person who feels they're like an artist inside, like it's okay if you're like a, you know, like you want, that's what you want. I just want to be good at all of them. And that's all I want to do is all of them. And I'll do everybody's tattoos. And there's guys like that. Like, you know, you can watch someone like Josh Payne's like a great example. Like that guy can do a portrait. He can do like, and he prides himself in that. You know, mm-hmm. you'll like see like, he'll see like a tattoo and then be like, I wonder if I could do that. And then he'll go do it. And he's really good at it.
Right.
He's very good at that like role.
And there's a reason that tattooers who know will like revere an artist like that.
Yeah.
Because it's rare for someone to really be able to pull off convincing versions of stuff to
every
like the educated eye.
Yeah, yeah, to every different style, to like so many different styles. Yeah, it's super impressive.
Yeah.
But not all of us are built that way.
No, most of us aren't.
Yeah. And so now you're going to ask everybody to be that. And not everybody was meant to be that guy either. Not everybody was meant to play that part. And
so what do we do?
I don't know. And the hard part is, I think this is the part where we should have been educating our public differently when we had the opportunity and we allowed these shows to kind of educate them for us. And now we're dealing with the backlash a little of that. And so some of it, like in my next move, I'm changing the way I book stuff. So I'm not going to take on certain projects. And I know I'm going to have to eat it financially and find a new income source. Like, and I'm okay with, you know, like if I have to go mow lawns so that I can do more tattoos I prefer to do rather than do all the tattoos that make me miserable, I'd rather have like, man, I really got to like clear my head while I'm pushing my mower around and then come back and give you an awesome tattoo I love. And I think I just have to do that for myself. I think for my clients, I have to do that. I have to be able to give them the best version of me. And I don't think if I'm asked to do everything that's out there, like you're going to get the, like, I don't do color port. Like I've turned down color. Like I don't do color portraits. Like my Bane does not work like that at all. I had gotten to sit once with Tom Renshaw, who's like one of the black and gray guys that kind of, you know, before the Bob Tyrell. And him, you know, this was back when I was like a really like new school, doing most new school stuff. And I was like, I loved it. Like I loved what he did. And I sat with him one day and was like, hey man, like, how do I do what you do? Like, how do I go about that? And can you teach me any pointers? And he goes, well, you can't because you interpret. So like you look at a face and then you are like, oh, well, that shadow doesn't look dark enough. I'm going to like deepen that shadow and I'm going to add this highlight because that highlight's missing from the picture. And he was like, but I see the picture and I reproduce the picture. And that's why I do reproduction work, you know, like essentially. And that's why you do that stylized stuff you do, is because your brain works different. Like, and that's okay. Like, it's okay that we don't all tattoo like, you know, everybody else around us, that we have our own thing. And and then we have to learn to train, you know, teach our clients that. And like, hey, if you want to, and unfortunately, because we make our living for it through this, this is the difficulty. And this is this is why if you're a young tattoo artist and you're not putting your pennies away for the hard moments where you might have to turn down work, you may be doing yourself a disservice. Because I mean, I'm 45 now almost, and then, you know, and I'm still hopping shop to shop like a fucking goofball. Like, you know, like I live like I'm still like some 22-year-old, like just starting his career. Like, yeah. I think I'll try out fucking street shop work this week. And then next week I'll try, you know, like it's a dumb way. I would never like tell anybody to like follow my steps as a tattoo artist. But yeah. I would say be prepared for like, if you don't want to do the projects, be prepared and start setting your financial situation so that you can afford to try new things and explore and be financially savvy, you know, like stop buying all the sneakers and or whatever it is, you know.
Well, I feel like I've almost seen in a number of cases that younger tattooers, they may not perceive it with as much wisdom as what you've just, how you've just explained it, but they almost only do one style, like from the start of their career. And then it seems like every couple of years, they'll just completely change what they do. And it just happens to be like the hottest shit ever, like popular, trendy stuff. And maybe that's just built into the mindset of a newer tattooer now, that, you know, to adapt and to allow yourself to explore other things, but be fully committed to it. Because they also know that you have to do that.
Yeah. Which is, that's good business. I mean, that's business, right? So, you know.
To me, it doesn't seem that bad because I like to try to, you know, do different styles and switch it up and stuff. So,
yeah. But I mean, you look at like even on a grander scale, like Disney can't continue to produce watercolor background paintings and thrive in today's cartoon market. Like the styles are going to change, you know, like I had to adapt out of like doing the creepy kid. Like I got known for doing these like little like three finger creepy kids. And I get like people here and there that still want them, you know, like I want that old style back, but the clientele is not there like it was 15, you know, years ago. So I had to change. I had to like adapt to, I still am like adapting. Like I'm always like kind of, I'm looking at the world of tattooing and what's happening and then trying to find like, where do I fit into this? Like, how do I make my own unique thing in what's relevant right now? Like, I mean, you can look at like what's happening in tattooing and you know that there's very like certain things are very relevant in tattooing. You can see like what's working and what's not working. And so I don't know if it's an easy transition if you're like one of those people, but I've watched guys who were like, I worked with a guy who when I worked with him, when we had a studio together, He did like kind of new school cartoon stuff. And now he does like this crazy like black work stuff that he's like way like maybe not even better in. He just is really good at both. And I'm like, fuck, man, that's a huge transition. Like, I don't know if I could make, you know, such a massive transition from going like doing illustrative work, let's say, and then all of a sudden doing this like black work. But he did it. And it's good because I think his career, it not only evolved his career, he evolved as an artist because he was able to do that and became more relevant with the times because of it. So there is something good in being flexible like that. Like sometimes like the stuff that worked, you know, like a, you know, the 80s like Blender new school isn't going to like be as relevant today as like what someone like, you know, Victor Chill is maybe doing or whatever like kid is like doing the new innovative style of that work.
Right. Because it's all just commercial art. We're doing these drawings to sell directly to the customer.
And the customer's taste is constantly changing too.
Yeah. So it makes sense. It's luckily it doesn't change as fast as like fashion because it seems like fashion stuff changes so fast, but I'm sure it's all tied together.
And it does, you know, and it might like it could.
Yeah.
We are more of a fashion industry now, I think, than we historically have been. Like you are getting, you know, it's funny. I just had someone I was talking with yesterday where they were talking about how this client, you know, they were getting tattooed, but then bragging about like this other tattoo that they had gotten and the name and how much they paid for the product. And it was almost like they bought like, you know, like they just got themselves like a, you know, like a Prada purse or whatever, like hip fashion, accessory. Like this is a fashion accessory now. Do you have work by this person? You know, like you need to, like that's, everybody's doing it, you know, like, so I think there is a fashion aspect.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the fact that we have like celebrity tattooers or tattooers that are known at different levels, and that's always going to be part of it. Cause it's like that, you know, they're like fashion designers. Exactly. I guess. Look at it that way.
Yeah.
Do you have anything that you want to, that we didn't touch on that you wanted to?
Yeah. You know what? I might touch on the traveling seminar things since we talked about the schools.
Yeah.
If that's okay.
Of course.
Cause I think that like, we don't have those school systems in place right now, and I'm getting ready to go do like the Explorer. I did the Texas Tattoo Educational Seminar and the Explorer. I know there's a couple out there outside of those that that are hosted in different regions. And having gone and done like the Explorer, like is coming up in May. And what I liked about it, doing it last year, both of these events is one, they're pretty well-rounded in the type of artists they get. So even though these school systems aren't kind of in place yet, you're getting a chance to like get to listen to other artists convey like their process, or like I got to hear Carrie Barber talk about the history of women in tattooing. So it was like, I got a history course at one of them. Or like, you know, so I'm getting these, you get like people's like experiences in their careers, and you're getting this education that I think is like important. Seminars are always a good thing to go, you know, get under your belt. If you take your job serious, you know, you should always be doing like continuing education. But there was also like another element, like it was cool because we did like portfolio reviews. Like I ended up doing portfolio reviews from like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night to like 4 a.m, just sitting with people and just like looking through their work. And that's an awesome opportunity to have too, to have someone review your work and give you like honest feedback. But also this camaraderie, like one of the things that I suffer with in some of my, you know, as a tattoo artist at times, and I know this is pretty universal for a lot of people, is you're in shops where like, you're not around always like-minded. Then we're not all here for the same reason. Not everybody who shows up for the job is here for the same reason. And so when you go to these events, everybody's there for the same reason. Like they're all there to get better. And so there's this sense of like camaraderie that you get there. It's a great like chance to do networking and to like to meet people that like want to excel and exchange like information and maybe set up future like critiques with each other. Like I know I used to have a phone, like a little text line where with a couple like tattoo artists who I would send a picture, you know, into this group chat and then get feedback from people. And it's, that was like a really like, it's a good way to grow when you're kind of like isolated in an area where you can't get to other mm-hmm. people all the time. So I think it's a good investment in yourself and in your career yeah. to get to these things. Like, you know, even though the schoolings aren't there right now, there are things put in place that like didn't, you know, like when I started 20 years ago, like if I would have gotten here, I got to see like guy, you know, speak, and I got to see like Lyle Tuttle talk about tattoo machines when I first started, but it was very like small. There wasn't like a lot of like educational stuff out there. And so to have these opportunities where you have some of the like people with history in tattooing or these, you know, bigger names that have built these careers and are kind of doing the things you would like to evolve into, are willing to go there and share their stories and share the like stuff and are pretty open about it, is an awesome opportunity. And it's amazing to me that more people don't take them up on it, like that you get to have this kind of like one-on-one moment with these people mm-hmm. and get like a little intimacy there and be like, ask the questions like that maybe you've wanted answered and can't get the same response on through social media or just watching their videos on online or whatever.
Right.
So
and maybe that's the future of education that we should be focused on.
And it's a good one. It's a really good start, you know, like I think that's a really good start. And it's something anybody, you know, like tattoo artists tend to make enough money that they can invest in. They should be. It shouldn't even be about like whether or not they should be reinvesting in themselves and their right. careers. You know, like teachers have to continue to re-up their education. You know, other fields tend to continuing education. So, you know, like to go there and even if you go to your local tattoo convention and you get like, you know, 2 hours in with an artist with experience and get to listen to them, maybe get a portfolio review from time to time from someone better than you. Like, it's not a bad thing, you know?
And a lot of younger tattooers listen to the show and they reach out to me and tell me what they get out of it and stuff. And I guess pertinent to this topic, I think younger tattooers, don't be afraid to like ask for a portfolio review because people just don't really do that as much anymore.
No. And there was a time where I was trying to do that through my social media. I had to open it up and let people drop in, like, you know, just ask for it or whatever. It just got overwhelming. I couldn't keep up. Right. And then I was like, can I charge to at least, so I'm not losing the time from drawing and tattooing. And then that just was right. like, I would end up spending like I created these like books where I would send them back where I drew over everything and I wrote down like all these like art things, like I would start studying and I was like,
you become a full-time consultant then.
Yeah. And I was like, holy shit, that took up a lot of time, like wow, that was overwhelming, you know. So yeah. but
what a great opportunity for someone who admires your work to get that back.
Yeah. And
they probably shit their pants when they saw it. Yeah.
I think, you know, I never know how people took it. Like, cause I would be like, hey, if you need anything, just follow up. I'll gladly answer stuff. And then it just is like crickets. And I'm like, man, I hope I didn't just like fuck with their day or, you know, like.
Well, they're probably like, okay, I got to start from zero now.
Yeah. But I mean, we all can learn, you know, and grow.
For sure.
So.
Yeah.
I think we're here doing, right?
Yeah. And and that's like the best way, I think, to learn. Is to get those critiques. And then if we're too afraid to ask for it, or if we're not equipped, like we were talking earlier, if we're not equipped to take a critique, then you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, for sure. The other thing I guess we should probably talk about too, just to close out, is it like depression and anxiety are real things. Oh, you yeah. know, we kind of like...
Yeah, let's reiterate that one more time.
Touched on that. I get like people send me like, I get a lot of mail, personal mail, like people going to, because I think I put it out there. So I became relatable for people. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I think like that my page has been successful for is that people don't feel so alone when they like, because I put it out there, other people like put out like, hey man, me too. And then these other people, they're going stuff, they're in the shadows, you know, they don't want to like put out their business. You know, whether people believe it or not, it takes like an ounce of being like, fuck it, man. Like, this is who I am. And it's not for everybody, you know, like to put this shit out there. Because I don't care if I'm judged on, like, I just don't care. Like, nobody's opinion really matters that. I don't mean to be a dick, but nobody's opinion matters that much to me over my own opinion of myself. Like, so these people are like living in the shadows and stuff. And so I'll get like messages of people going through some pretty dark stuff. And I gotta like say, I think like it's important to people to know, like, reach out. Like, you have got to, you're not alone. There are plenty of people put in place to help you. Like, it might not, it wasn't my friends. Like, when I was going through the darkest stuff, I had a lot of friends who just weren't there for me at all. Like, they're not my friends anymore. Like, I quickly learned a lot about, because they didn't know how to handle it. They didn't know how to like handle what I was going through. And so it was easier for them to walk away. And people will go through that. You'll find that a lot. Like, you're expecting your family to be there for you, and they want to cheer you up, but they don't know how to like make it better. There's all professionals out there that are in line, in place to like help you. And so I think it's super important that people are well aware that, like, if you need help, if you're like struggling, like if you can't, if every day is gray, like you don't see green at all anymore when you wake up, like reach for help, like go get that help. Like, there's people out there in place for you to reach out to, you know. And I think that's super important that you're aware, you know, these kids that are out there, because a lot of kids kind of feel like very alone right now. They feel like they're going through this all alone. And social media, you know, it's funny, we call it social media, and very few people are social. So I'd like to add that at the end, like, you know.
I commend you for putting yourself out there in the way that you do. And I think the conversations that you're starting, you know, it's in the context of tattooing, but it applies to anyone's life. And I think it's very a very noble mission that it seems that you're on, to just get people talking and understanding or identifying maybe things in themselves or others that they hadn't before.
Yeah.
It's great.
I think it's important.
It's super important.
Yeah. Especially, you know, with the, like, I mean, I like knew three people that killed themselves in a year. Like, that's too many. That's like three too many, you know, like,
so that's becoming too common of a tale.
Far too common. Yeah. Especially if we can do something to like help it, you know, maybe alleviate that a little. Yeah. So, and maybe sometimes, and you know, it's crazy. Like, we live in this mass world with all these people. Why do these people feel so alone? You know, you gotta like, why are all these people feeling so like left out? I don't know.